Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Today, we will be reading in 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. Then Jeroboam returned from Egypt and said, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. He said to them, go away for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet still alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer this people? And they said to him, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what do you advise that we answer this people who had said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you shall lighten it for us. Thus shall you say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people harshly. In forsaking the counsel that the old men had given him, he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David. So Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaker over forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. And when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the son of God, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, the people of Israel. Every man return to his home, for this thing is from me. So they listened to the word of the Lord and went home again according to the word of the Lord.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Felicity. I love that. Awesome job reading this morning. Let's say a prayer, and then we're going to get into the message and kind of unpack some of that a little bit in our series that we're in right now. King, Let's pray. Father, open up our hearts right now and our minds to receiving your word in all of its truth. Lord, I pray that you would help me just to unpack this in a way that would bring honor and glory to you, that it would that we would really get the sense of what you're trying to say through this text, but also what you're trying to say specifically to each of us and serves as individuals, but also to us as a community and as a body. And so guide us in that and lead us in that this time, Lord. We trust that your spirit will be present and help us with that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Rehoboam here makes a pretty big mistake, doesn't he? And in just a matter of 3 days, undoes what three kings before him have been working towards for upwards of and probably more than 100 years. Okay, King David being 40, King Solomon being 40, and Saul being 20 plus. This was a big mistake. As I think about a big mistake, I mean, I got so many big mistakes in my life, I was not short of giving you an example. One mistake that I think about that's just kind of funny is, and I'm still here to tell about it, so that's good. I'm able to tell you this story. When I was in India, one day we were walking around. I went on a trip to India, and we're walking around, and we're some of our guys that we're with, and we're kind of in the city. You know, there's lots of people around. We're safe. All is good. One of the guys says, man, I really want to buy a cricket bat, okay, over in India, the game cricket is kind of a big deal. He's like, I really want to buy a cricket bat and take it back. So we're like, all right, let's keep our eyes open for a cricket bat. And this was one of the days when we're doing a little more tourism kind of stuff. And so we're walking around and all everything. And finally, just so many people want to give you a ride all the time. And one of these guys comes up in this little cart. And he's like, hey, you want to go find a cricket bat? I'm like, he just said, dude, can I take you somewhere? And one of our guys is like, yeah, we're looking for a cricket bat. And the guy right away is like, oh, yeah, I know where all the cricket bats are. And so we're like, well, let's get in with him. And so we get into this little cart, okay, in India. And he starts driving us around. Well, slowly the scenery goes from like, you know, being around lots of people to just less and less and less of that. And we're driving and like my mom teaching me things like, you know, when the person pulls up with the van and says, you know, do you want some candy, little kid? Like you don't get in with that guy, okay? And I'm like, I feel like that's kind of what we've done here. We got in with this guy. And the scenery just keeps getting worse. And we're going down these little narrow tunnels, left, right, and we're going left, and then we're going right. And I'm thinking to myself, if I were to call 911 right now, okay? If I were to call 911, what I would tell them is, I'm in India somewhere, and I'm dead. Come look for my body. I don't know what else to say. I don't have an address. I don't even know the town we're in. I don't know it. I'm in India somewhere. Come get me. Like, that's it. And so we're driving around, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm thinking, we're going to die. Like, we will die, and nobody will ever find us. That was a pretty big mistake on our part. We probably shouldn't have got in that little buggy thing with that guy, right, in a strange place. Well, King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, in 3 days makes a huge mistake. And it's amazing because as I was thinking about that, one point I wanted to bring up is how fast we can break things down. How fast do we oftentimes break things? That's kind of one of my first points. How fast do we break things? You know, right now in our home, we have Legos are kind of a big deal, right? And it's amazing because as we're putting Legos together, because Legos are always a big deal, no matter what the age, right? Kind of, I mean, come on, yeah, amen, 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 preach by that. But Legos in our family, it's getting a little tough because now that our youngest Ember can, like, walk around, it's like you spend a long time putting this together, this little pieces, and then she comes in and just, like, just knocks it all down. And so it's kind of annoying to the rest of the family because we're trying to build Legos and make them really cool, but it's almost not worth it because Ember's going to come in and just knock it all down. And we see this happen in this story, like an entire kingdom gets divided. It actually makes the Bible really complicated because what used to just be like kind of 12 now becomes Israel and Judah. And it had always been these kind of 12 tribes, but now there's a division there, and we have to start following around like multiple different kings on multiple different levels. Actually, can you bring up a slide that's at the end? Bring this slide up. I want you to see this slide of the different kings. Yeah, right here. So you notice up in the right-hand corner where it says Saul, and then there's this kind of, notice there's this guy Ish-bosheth. Remember how I've been saying there's we're going to follow these four kings, the one, two, three, four? Well, technically they're not the fourth. It's because there's a couple of these other guys that make it a little bit difficult to track, but you can read about all that. But as you go through Saul, then David, then Solomon, then today we're looking at Rehoboam. Do you see that? Okay, I see one head going up and down. Do you see Rehoboam up there? Okay, so Rehoboam there, he's the king. Well, it's during this time, it's during this story that was Felicity read to us, that there's a split, and there's Jeroboam now on over on the left, and he becomes the king of Judah, of Israel, I'm sorry, and Rehoboam continues to be the king of Judah. Well, now as you read through the Bible in the book of Kings, you actually follow two sets of kings. And it makes it really difficult to understand often because one king's the king of this king. And you're following all this stuff, but there's a division. The family of God gets divided into two kingdoms. There's about 20 kings on each side as you follow this through. And so that's good. That's good for that. I want people to listen to me instead of memorizing the king's thing. But as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking the division that occurs here, the breakdown of all of this kind of situation, it just kind of makes me think, like, that's us so often. Like, whether it's through a bad decision, like Rehoboam's decision to choose some of the choices he made, or whether it's through ignorance, like Ember coming in and just kind of bopping around and breaking our Legos, it could be through ignorance, it could be through just conscious bad decision. We're oftentimes breaking things down. I mean, think of the marriages that 30 years of working at it. And then, and we see this stuff. We see this stuff. All of a sudden somebody will like have an affair or something. It's like, what? In one moment? 30 years? Of building and building and building. Just that moment. Break it down. A relationship with somebody. I mean, that where families have worked together. And there's decades of relational capital. And just like that, one ticked off night. You get, teed off and you go off on somebody and I mean, come on, we've lived some of this. I mean, it's the financial decision, right? Like you finally climbed your way out of debt. And then you're like, well, let's go buy that thing. Right back in. Like you climbed and you worked and you toiled and then one bad decision. Right? We make bad decisions sometimes. And oftentimes we break down things that have actually taken a long time to build up. Family systems. You know, some of you are thinking about going into this Christmas season with friends and family, and you're wondering about how you're going to go off on somebody. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. And you've spent 364 days, not talking to this person, which has made actually some peace. And now, in one day, you're going to make a decision, right? And somebody's going to say something, or Uncle Benny's going to say something, do something, and boom, all of a sudden, right? And it's just kind of like, ugh. In one moment, what can break down, that being there, building up and building up and building up. Anybody there? Anybody thinking about being there? What can we learn from this story? As I was thinking about it, I looked at 1 Kings 12 in this story, verse 6. Check this out. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive. Taking counsel, I think that's one of my points I want to highlight. Get good counsel. If you got a decision or you have something ahead of you that you're like, I don't know if I want to make that decision. I don't know what I want to decide. I don't know what I should do. Get good counsel. Find some people who can speak truth into your life, even if it hurts to hear it. Do you have those people? Do you have people who will speak truth into your life? I'm not talking about a friend who just kind of always encourages you and, you know, good job, good job, good job, good job, good job all the way through life. I'm talking about somebody who will speak truth into your life. Do you have that person? It's one of the reasons we created small groups here. It's one of the reasons we offer small groups at the dwelling is so that we get you plugged into a place where over time a relationship could be built, where somebody could speak truth into your life. I'm not saying that you're going to become best friends with this person. We're not trying to make these into like best friend groups. You might not be best friends with them, but I'm kind of tired of like churches building around this idea that it's all just friendship, friendship, friendship. Friendship is part of it. That's not a bad thing. But I'm not going to play the game of like, well, you know, if you like to play basketball, then there's a little basketball group and you guys can become best friends and stuff. Come on. Let's talk real. There's too much stuff that I see that's going on in our lives that we're really dealing with that if we just, let's talk about some of it. And not the first day. Eat some pizza, drink some good beer, do whatever you got to do to, okay, get real. But then allow somebody to speak some truth into your life. Some of the difficult stuff. God's word. Not only do we get counsel, do we need good counsel, but then I was even thinking about the giving good counsel. You know, the old men here, the older, wiser men here, they're giving of counsel. It's interesting. And this didn't make my notes until just yesterday, actually. In my preparation for this message. But are you giving good counsel? Jackie and I, we were just talking the other day about how difficult it is today to give counsel. It is so difficult to give good counsel. Do you know why it's so difficult? Look at the wise men here. It's interesting. The older, wiser men give King Rehoboam the counsel, right? But it's interesting because they only say the positive. They only say, here's what will happen if you do the right thing. They don't give, and I think, I mean, and maybe they did say this in the text, and it's just not in the text, okay? But what isn't in the text is them giving the, well, here's what's going to happen if it doesn't go right. Do you notice that? And I don't know if that's them shying away. I don't know if it's difficult. But isn't it true that it's difficult to give counsel to a king? I mean, if you're talking to the king, it can be a little difficult to give that person counsel, right? It can be a little difficult to let the guy drop the hammer on him and be like, dude, you're about to make the biggest mistake in the kingdom in the past 10 decades. It can be difficult to give counsel to a king. Well, guess what? We live in a culture that says each and every one of you is king. That's what individualism is. And so when you come to somebody and you say to that person, hey, man, I don't think this is the way it should look and it should go. And that's all you have to do in our culture today is say, well, that's your opinion. And that's a fine opinion. But that's not what I hold to. That's because we think of ourselves as king. That's because individualism is such a cultural identity piece in especially the West today. We are our own kings. And to bring counsel to that person can be very difficult. It is so hard to be talking to somebody who is sharing with me. Jackie, we're talking about this. How they're sharing something with you that you actually disagree with. How do you talk? Because you don't want to be doing this. Do you see that? Do you see how this? Like, and yeah, I agree with that. And so to actually hear and listen and be attentive and desire to really hear what's going on, but not affirm, What they're saying, that is so hard. And it is getting increasingly difficult today. Are you giving good counsel? Or have you actually subtly kind of made your conversation and your truth giving kind of watered it down? And you actually don't hold to the convictions that you actually hold kind of on your own. But when you're with that person, you kind of let it slide a little bit. What does that look like to speak truth into a situation? To somebody who sees themselves as king. It's very difficult. It's very hard. Are you giving good counsel? Are you planting yourself in God's word so that you might know what truth is? So that you can give it to somebody else. Are we listening to good counsel? You know, I look at Rehoboam. Listen to what he says here in chapter verse 8. Chapter 12, verse 8. Check this out. He says, but he abandons the counsel of the old wise men and took the counsel with the younger men who'd grown up with him and stood before him. He said to them, what do you advise that we answer this people who've said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us? And the young men who'd grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak to this people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus shall you say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. That's something I would say on some, like, yeah, I'd say that. My little finger is thicker than I don't know. Check your motives. Check your motives when you're making a decision about something. I think it's interesting because I think Rehoboam completely ignores the older, wiser men because it's simply not what he wanted to hear. He already knew what he wanted to do. He already knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to establish a tight, firm grip on the kingdom. He wanted to make sure everybody knew that he was the king. And I want to kind of let everybody know it. And so he pushes aside wise counsel because he has simply, and I was thinking about this, what is the breakdown here for us? Because he has simply himself in mind. He doesn't have the people in mind. He's not thinking about other people. He's thinking about his own rule, his own reign, and his own life. He's got himself in mind. And I think just a basic, simple way that we can avoid some huge mistakes in our life is run it through the little motive filter of, is this for me or is this for somebody else? Is this going to just benefit me or is this going to bless and benefit other people? See, so often we go through life just thinking about me. And the tighter we hold on, the more stuff breaks. The tighter we hold on, the worse it gets. Notice what happens in the story. The story gets to a place where Rehoboam grabs 180,000 warriors and he goes to battle against who? His own family. Israel, this isn't another nation. This has been one nation. This is civil war among the family of God. And he's willing to shed blood. Man, that's what happens. The tighter we hold on, the more I got to make sure I'm the king. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I need to get. Man, the more stuff breaks down around us. It just continues to divide and break and get messed up, and it just gets worse and worse and worse until God steps in and speaks a word. That's exactly what happens in the story. God steps in and says, no more. And it's interesting the words that God uses here. My point here that I want to make is that God continues to build. Notice I'm using the even though build kind of thought here. But God continues to build even though oftentimes as he builds out his promises, he builds it out in a slow way. Isn't that true? He begins to build it out, but oftentimes it's a slow build. Oftentimes it's a slow build. He builds it out. But look at what Jesus says, or what God says here in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 24. He says this, "Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, the people of Israel." No, I'm going to speak into the situation. Every man return to his home. Look at this. I love this. I wrote this down on a little note card this past week, and I posted it right on my desk. "For this is from me." This is from me. Now, this is actually really difficult to theologically kind of think this baby through. Because there's actually a sense in which, in the context here, they're undergoing discipline. It's actually discipline that goes back to King Solomon, Rehoboam's dad. Do you remember last week when I told you about how Solomon had fallen trapped to different idols? And God came to Solomon and said, the kingdom is going to be divided now. Your disobedience is going to have consequences, and there's going to have to be some discipline. And this is, in a very real sense, the discipline that was given to Solomon. This is from me. And so whether it's discipline that we're undergoing, which we're not going to have time to get into that today, but God disciplines his people. Whether it's discipline that we undergo or whether it's God working some other angle in our life, it's always God building. It's always God building. And what's amazing about this is oftentimes he's building as we're breaking. Oftentimes he's building while we're breaking. And everything's falling apart around you, but God is doing a work that's even bigger than the breaking. Man, I don't know if you need to hear that this morning. I know some of you, your lives are, if you look at it and you get a set, it feels like it's falling apart. The family system, where I meet for church on Sunday mornings. The finances, your kid and the decisions they're making. And everything seems like it's like falling apart around you. In you. And here God comes and says, I'm going to keep building. I'm going to keep building. It gets extended out. I wanted to show that picture of the messiness of the kings, because the promise to David was that there would be a king who would come to enact a rule and a reign that would last forever. And literally over the next centuries, it just gets worse and worse. And it just keeps falling apart. Imagine being someone from one of the peasants, right? One of the little people just walking around. Just think of what they're thinking. They're like, God, are you really keeping your promises here? It doesn't feel like you're keeping your promises. It feels like all the kings keep being a bunch of bad ones. Feels like nobody really cares about us. Doesn't feel like anything's going right here. Are you really still working, God? Are you still building? Are you still doing something? And then this little baby gets born, and we see him in a manger. And then but then this little baby doesn't do what we think he's going to do. And the little baby ends up going to a cross. And then all of a sudden the baby is not a baby. He's a grown man, and he's dying on a cross. And we look up at that cross, and we're like, it's just breaking. Everything's breaking down. Everything's going. We can't even win there. And in the greatest reversal and biggest, what in the whale God? The biggest breakdown of humanity as we nail God to the cross, he's working his greatest work. Man. He's doing his greatest work as he saves us, as he buys us back, as he purchases us. And he begins to there, as he takes all the stuff upon him, all the brokenness, all the breaking upon himself, he begins to put onto us the righteousness, his righteousness. And he begins to build a people for himself. I mean, this is all over the scriptures, this kind of language of he begins to build for himself a people as he's doing right now today. For himself, for his glory, forever. That he will reign over. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. Today, I just want you to hear, as your life is breaking apart, as you have made bad choices, as you've made some crazy, terrible decisions, know that our God speaks into that. And there's a sense in which he'll even say something like, this is of me. And you're the one who's screwing it up. But I'm gonna work in this. I'm going to work in this, and I'm going to continue to build even as you break. That's how big our God is. He's building. He's building out his promises, his purposes for your life. And I get it. It's foggy right now, and you're like, what? But he keeps building. He keeps building. May you find comfort in that today. May you find comfort that even the kings make the mistakes, and even you are made some crazy, terrible stuff, but he keeps building. Let's pray. Lord, as we just reflect on that a little bit, I pray that I wouldn't have preached to figuratively or like as an analogy or something. Please help everybody in here today to make the real connection to their real life, that it wouldn't slip away into just kind of a story or a nicety, but that your spirit would work in us the truth that you really are building us. You are making for yourself a people, that you have saved us. And Jesus, the decisions that have been made in this room that have brought incredible brokenness, we acknowledge that right now. We acknowledge how fragile our hearts are. We acknowledge how quick we are to go to things like anger. I think of this morning, just how angry I got with one of my kids, Lord. Just so frustrated. And the discipline was needed, but the amount of anger that was needed there was not needed. We go so quickly to anger. We go so quickly to words that hurt people. We go so quickly to protecting ourselves and not looking out for others. We go so quickly to thinking about ourselves and selfishness and greed. And we go so quick to those things. And so this morning, Lord, we just want to repent. We want to take a minute here just to acknowledge those things. And we're sorry, Lord. We're sorry for where we break things down. We're sorry for that. Forgive us, Lord. Just forgive us for where we... how fragile we are. Thank you, Jesus, that we can just receive from you your forgiveness as you speak to us, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that we can have restoration even in you. Strengthen us with your spirit that we might be built up, that we might be built up in you and hold to your promises. Even when it all feels like it's falling apart, even when there's so many questions and so many unknowns, we just keep trusting in you right now, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord.
Jesus. Let me bless you. May our God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor. May he give you his peace this next week and all that you do. In Jesus' name.